All right, guys, I want to talk to you today. Last week when I mentioned at the end of the service, I mentioned about two questions that have really been plaguing me for a while, and I wonder if you wrestle with those same two questions. So let me just kind of ask the questions and see where you're at on it. You don't need to respond, but just kind of answer it in your mind. Is it possible that when you look at your personal relationship with God, that is, your interaction with Him, when you read His Word, when you pray, even when you come to church, or even as you're living your life out, that maybe you would say to yourself, man, is there something missing? Is there something missing? The other question has to do with us as a church, and that is, you know, as we interact, I'm not just talking about the service, okay? I'm not just talking about our gathering together in this time right now, but I'm just talking about in general, as we interact with each other, as we do stuff together, as we interact with each other during the week and so forth. Isn't there supposed to be something more? Isn't there something more? Now, those are two great questions to ask yourself, because at the heart of them is, okay, am I missing something, Lord? Is there something I'm missing? Now, as I was wrestling with this, I decided that I wanted to do this series because, as I thought about it, I realized that we can get comfortable and not realize that things have changed. I'll give you an illustration. All right. When I grew up as a boy, when I would go to the eye doctor, I was told that I had 20/20 vision, okay? As a young man, I was told that I had 20/20 vision. And so I just kind of just assumed that I've got good vision. I don't need to worry about stuff, okay? Not even paying attention. You say, come on, George, are you that ridiculous? Yeah, I'm just telling you, maybe I was prideful in my own self, but I just thought, I have good eyesight. Well, about 12 years ago, I began to notice some changes. Now, I didn't even pay attention when these changes were happening. I began to notice, like, okay, so when you see me with my Bible here, you're like, man, that's a big Bible. Well, it's a big Bible because it's super giant print, okay? Because all of a sudden, I began to notice when I was sitting at my desk with the normal Bible that I had been preaching from years, I couldn't read the words on the page. So I went to Walmart and bought some cheaters, reading glasses, okay? And I just would have them on my desk and just be able to read there. Not thinking, because I'm still thinking, I got good eyesight. I'm doing okay, okay? Until about 10 years ago. Move forward a couple of years, I'm sitting here preaching, and I'm starting to realize that the people on the back row, their faces looked fuzzy to me. I could tell who it was, but I couldn't tell what their expressions were. Like, they were like, oh, come on, George. Normally I read your faces when I preach. Well, I realized, like even right now, you're just fuzzy, okay? Well, I didn't think anything of it. I thought, well, maybe something's wrong today or whatever. But then I'm like driving. And so I'm driving, and then I'm realizing as I'm driving, you know how you go along the highway and you say 2 miles is the rest area or 2 miles is this exit. Well, normally I used to be able to read those signs way ahead. I had to like almost drive up on them to be able to see what they were saying. And so then the realization is something has changed. So I went to the eye doctor, and since then I've been wearing glasses because my far sight is not good. And I have to have bifocals. So there went the whole perception that George has got good vision. You say, now what does that got to do with our two questions, George? Well, I want to point out a couple things for you. I want to talk about that maybe you and I have sight problems. So two things I want to point out here. Number one, there's a tendency to look at yourself based upon your spiritual past. There's a tendency. I mean, we look and we say, well, you know, I remember when God did this. You ever hear people say that? I remember. I mean, God was there for me real big time 10 years ago. He answered prayer. And we cherish those memories of how God showed up in our lives. And we're like, wow. Or we even do that with churches. I remember years ago when we had this going on and that going on. But how's that now? Well, they don't see it now. They just think in terms of the past. Kind of like me thinking, well, you know, I've got 20/20 vision when you're told that as an 18-year-old. Yeah, but when you're 59, you don't have 20/20 vision anymore, George. This is the reality. We've got a sight problem. We assume based on past things, and so this can happen in your life. You think you're okay because all this other stuff happened in your life that the Lord did. Or you can even think that as far as the church. Now, here's the second point I want to tell you, and that's this. You miss the subtle shifts that occur until a crisis finds you spiritually bankrupt. So, folks, it took a while. It wasn't like all of a sudden for me that I couldn't read a book without cheaters. That just didn't happen overnight. Like I went to bed and boom, the next day, boom. No, that shift was subtle. It wasn't that all of a sudden my 20/20 vision went to such that things that are at a distance I can't read or see anymore. That shift hadn't happened suddenly. Subtly, it just kind of gradually went there. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. Whether as a church, as a collective group of believers, or whether you as an individual, you can all of a sudden, you can be resting in, oh, I saw God this week, and I saw, but then now it's like you haven't seen God working in your life, but you're oblivious to it because you're still thinking like it was 5 years ago or something, and the shift happened suddenly. You didn't even notice it happened until there's a crisis. And with that crisis and the severity of that crisis, you're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? And you start saying, where are you, God? Why is this happening to me? And you realize at that moment, for some reason, you're spiritually bankrupt because you haven't been carrying on in an ongoing relationship with Jesus. You've kind of been living on the past relationship with Jesus. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to us? So what he did was he gave me, it's interesting, he gave me the messages before he gave me the understanding of how to use the messages. He gave me last May 5 or 6 messages to bring to you to get us to refocus. To get you to refocus in your spiritual life as an individual, to get us to refocus as a church. So where do we start? Well, with any eye problem, when you go to the eye doctor, what does he have you do, folks? I know when I go to the eye doctor every September, he has me go into this room and he puts these things on and they want me to look at, it's called a Snelling chart. I didn't know that until I looked it up, the chart with the E's and all of that. He has you look at a chart and then they figure out from there where your eyesight is at. In a sense, we kind of need to figure out today where we're at. Where are you at? Where am I at as an individual? But then where are we at as a church? So we kind of need to test our spiritual acuity. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to kind of test where we're at, because the thing is you could be sitting there saying to yourself, well, I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm here, George, ain't I? Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is you could be not okay, and just being here isn't a sign that you are okay. How do you know that? Well, Matthew 7, in that day they'll come to him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these great things in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's scary. These people thought they were in the right place. So let's kind of take a look. Now, how are we going to test ourselves, George? How are we going to test our spiritual acuity? Well, I think we go back to the very beginning of the church. And I want to focus in chapter 2. So it's right after, it's at Pentecost, it's right after the Spirit comes down on the church. It tells you what the church is like. And I want us to, from that, ask ourselves some questions. Okay, so let's look at it together. If you have your Bible, then we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Look with me at what it says. Let's start with verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, they attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wow, that's kind of a... It just stands out every time I read it. This just seems like a wonderful church, doesn't it? This is what the first church was like. Now, again, they would have subtle shifts in their lives, and they, again, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see there's some problems that arise later, but this is how they were. At this point, they're at the height of really spirituality. They just experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and so you see some things, and this is kind of like what a church should be like. Now, okay, so George, what do we do with this? How's this an eye test for us? Well, from this, I'm going to ask four questions. As we go through this passage, I'm going to ask four questions that we need to ask about ourselves. That's you, ask about yourself. And then about our church. And see where you're at, how you're doing. All right, so let's take a look. Here's the first one. Look with me, verse 42. Look at what they were devoted to. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Now, the fellowship there means their gatherings together, their interaction with each other. They devoted themselves to getting together. All right, so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. That refers to communion. The Lord's Supper, remembering the body and blood of Christ, the worship out of that, okay? So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, that's pretty obvious, prayer, right? Okay, now here's my question. Here's the question I'm asking myself. Here's the question I'm asking you. Here's the question I'm asking our church. What are you devoting yourself to? What are you devoting yourself to? What do you mean, George? It's pretty obvious. Where's your focus? When you think about you, the person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who has a relationship with God, what is it that you're focused on? And it can be a lot of things. It could be a job. It could be family. It could be your ambitions. Could be the dreams that you want to accomplish. Some folks get really wrapped up in what they want to accomplish, and that's where their whole focus is, making sure that happens. Could be a lot of things. Kids, family, reputation. I mean, we could sit here all day long and just list out the things that we can find ourselves devoted to. But the question is that where your devotion should be? See, with these folks, they were devoted because God had moved in their life in a mighty way. They saw God do something, and we're going to talk about that here at the end, what they saw, okay? And they were affected by their interaction with God. And so because of that, what resulted was they were going to be devoted to him. So what did they devote themselves to? First of all, the apostles' teaching, because that's how God speaks to us. That's how God shows us things. That's how God interacts with us. It's through his word. They devoted themselves. Look, what's the next thing there? To fellowship, being together with each other. And here's the sad thing. The sad thing, I've noticed this. Oh, man, I've been a pastor now since 93. So over the last 30-some years now, I have noticed that with a lot of folks now, if there's a better option on Sunday morning, then that wins out. That people don't come to church eager to meet with people, wondering who am I going to be able to encourage today? Who's going to be able to encourage me? We look at, yeah, you know, okay, I don't have anything going today. I guess we'll go. We should make an appearance. Like this is some kind of, I don't know. I don't know what they think. This is actually should be more than a service. This should be, for the people of God, a time where you connect with others who are going to encourage you. I tell people, I've really been sensitive to this here lately, that whenever I interact with someone, even though I'm the pastor, I walk away with something that I learn. I walk away from the conversation with something that I learned. And sometimes it ends up being on a sticky note that I stick on my desk, something that comes out. And then the folks who say stuff to me, they're not even realizing that, man, they just said something that just sparked my interest, something that I need to change in my life. Or it ends up in my journal. I look at every opportunity of connecting with people as an opportunity for my growth and who I am. Now, am I perfect in that? No, I'm not perfect. But that's the wonderful thing about fellowship. See, coming here, I'm hoping you realize, isn't just to sing a few songs, isn't just to pray a few prayers or listen to prayers or listen to George speak. Hopefully, coming here is interacting with people and being encouraged. Or giving you opportunity to encourage. That's what fellowship is. What are you devoting yourself to? And then finally, look at what he says. The breaking of bread, the final thing is prayers, but the breaking of bread is what? The remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ. You're devoted to the one thing, can I be honest with you, that's more important than anything else in your life. It is. That you got saved. Because without that, you have no destiny. You have no hope. And so you devote yourself to the Christ who paid it all for you. And then prayers. Talking to him. Talking to the Lord. Even though, can I be honest with you? There are things that I've been praying for decades. But I still go to him and I say, okay, Lord, I'm just asking you just to do this. I'm asking you to change this. I'm asking you. And you may not see a change. So I'm reminded of the great Christian from the 1800s, George Mueller, who was a man of prayer. There's a lot of books about his life and his prayer life. It is said of George Mueller that he prayed for 70-some people to come to Christ throughout his life. And when he died, all but one of them had gotten saved. And you say, wow, that's pretty powerful. Yeah, but God's faithful to prayer, because it wasn't just a few years later after his death that that person came to Christ. The issue is prayers. So I guess the question is, okay, so if we're asking that question, how are you doing? How are we doing? What are we devoting ourselves to? Here's the second question, okay? Look with me, verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Okay, here it is. Here's the question. Is God's work in your life and our church evident? Is God's work in your life and our church evident? Is that real? Do we see God working? Now, here they saw miraculous things, and so awe came upon them. But is there an awe among you, among myself, to our God when you realize that he answered prayer, that he provided, that he did something, he orchestrated something, he was real? Is that evident in your life? Is that evident in our church? I think there were times when we saw that. So what I'm describing to you is not something that we haven't seen before. But what I'm saying is, are we seeing it now? Because if we're living in the past, well, I saw this in the past when God did this in our midst. Yeah, I understand, but where is he now? Where is he now in your life that when you go to him and you talk to him, you know, even if it's just simply the peace that surpasses all understanding, that overtakes you, that makes you realize that even though I didn't know the answer or I haven't seen the answer, I at least knew he heard me. He heard me. That's the second question. First one, what are we devoted to? Second one, are we seeing him working? Are we seeing God doing his work in our lives, in our families, in our church? Here's the third one. Look with me. Verse 44 and 45, okay? This is real. Look with me. It's kind of interesting. Some people equate this to like a Christian communism. That is not what they're talking about here. Look at what it says. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. All right, here's the question. Do you have a concern for others in the church that results in action? So here's what was going on with them. Some people say, okay, well, they kind of like had this community thing where you kind of gave all your money. No, that's not what it was. People had their own stuff, and that's going to be very evident when you get to Acts chapter 5. It was in their own control. But what they did was is they looked around and they saw needs, and if they had the way of being able to help someone, maybe they sold something, and the scripture says that they did, to help out others in the church. Their concern went from more than just, oh, poor so-and-so, I'm praying for them, to action where they could physically do something to help them. So I guess the question then is, okay, if you look at yourself, if you look at our church, how are we doing? Do you have a concern for others? Can I be honest with you, though? Let's just be real. Most of us are so wrapped up in ourselves, we are totally oblivious to what's going on around us that others are doing. Most embarrassing conversations I have with my wife is sometimes after we've been with a group of people, and my wife will say, boy, that's really terrible about what so-and-so was saying or what this person was pointing out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? When did they mention that? And it's like, I missed it. She didn't. But I missed it. Why? Because maybe I was consumed with something else at the moment. I wasn't being sensitive to others. And it isn't just enough to be sensitive to others. It's being sensitive enough that it results in action on your part where maybe you can help somebody with something. Maybe you can encourage them or do something for them. Is that evident in your life? Is that evident in our church? Here's the fourth question. Comes out of the passage as well. Look with me, verse 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's the question. Is your life and interaction with others impacted by your faith? Is your life, how you live your life, is your interaction with others? And when I'm talking about interaction with others, I'm not just talking about your interaction with people right here in this group of people that we call the church. I'm talking about who you are with a clerk at a store. I'm talking about who you are at the person who serves you at the restaurant. I'm talking about the mechanic who works on your car. I'm talking about the person that you just kind of walk by in the parking lot at Walmart. Is your life and your interactions with those people, whatever level it is it impacted by your faith? And can I sadly say to you, I kind of think that it isn't with us. Because again, we're just kind of like, it's kind of like me. When I go to Walmart, I got my list. I got the stuff that Lori wants me to get. And here's the problem with me. Even though it's written down, I always forget one thing. So I'm like focused. I got to go in there, get what I got to get. And I don't know if I get distracted or somebody gets talking to me or something, or I think about something else I think would be great to have. There's been many times I've had to come, oh, I forgot to get that, Lore. You know what I'm saying? And so the problem is I get so self-focused, so then my faith isn't impacting my own life sometimes and my interaction with others. And so think about our church. Is our faith impacting us? Is our faith impacting others around us? Or do people even know that we're here or who we are? These are things we've got to ask ourselves. This is, can I say it, the spiritual eye test. These verses, verse 42 to 47, are the five verses to kind of challenge us. How are we doing? And if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, because I can't speak for you, if I'm honest with myself, I need glasses. I need my eyes corrected. I need help. Now, here's the thing, though. What I want you to see is I want to give us, as we close this, I don't just want to give us a bunch of questions to haggle over and say, oh, I'm so terrible, we're terrible. No, I want to give us a course of action. So that's why I want to back up to verse 41. Look at what it says in verse 41, because this is where it all started. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Okay? So here's what I wanted to see. I want you to see, first of all, correcting your spiritual acuity is not a matter of doing things. What needs to happen for you and I to correct ourselves? So when we're asking these questions, if the answers aren't